But as I was saying, this is a new year, a new decade, and a new season. And I believe this season, we can see it where we can see that I believe there's going to be a greater harvest of souls, more than we've ever seen. A mighty, because we're closer to the return of Christ. And he's, you know, they say he's turning up the heat here a little bit. In other words, he's working through his body. So this isn't about just a too special few. It's his body that is going to start being empowered to go out with the word of God and to share the good news. So we're going to see, you know, yes, we're going to see mighty meetings, but we're going to see meetings all over, multiplied, and a great mighty harvest of souls. I believe there's going to be a greater a manifestation of signs and wonders. I do. We're going to see this. And it's starting to happen, but in a greater measure. And I believe there's also going to be a greater manifestation of God's love through his body and a revelation of his word. So I believe this. And God wants to do greater things through us. He wants to do it through his body. He wants to do bigger and greater things through the church, of course, and in us personally. So there needs to be, I think in this new year, there needs to be an assessment. There needs to be a greater commitment on our part, a greater commitment to his word, a greater commitment to know. You know, there's something that, you know, I was reading, I believe, last week. We always go over to 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it is, when it talks about the Lord returning. But it says he's going to return in his voice. Let's turn over there a minute, just for a quick second. But he said here, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's not the scripture I want. But anyways, let me move on, because it says that he will come with his voice and then a trumpet. That's not the scripture I want. But let's move on. So that we need to have a new attitude concerning the things of God. And a decision to walk in the love of God. Now let's turn over to Luke. I want to read this scripture here and kind of focus on this today. Luke 18, 27. Familiar scripture verse. I'm going to read this from the King James and the New Living. Luke 18, verse 27. And we're familiar with this. He said, the things that are what? Impossible with man are what? Possible with God. So things that are impossible for us to do are not impossible with God. We may not be able to do it, but with his help, we can do it. In the New Living Translation, it says, what is impossible for people is possible with God. So how many believe that what we can't do, God can do? Do you believe that? So my question today is, as we sang that song, how big is your God? How big is your God to you? See, that's why I played that song. How big is your God? How big is he to you? That's what I want to entitle this message today. How big is your God? You know, when we sang that song, do we really believe that, or are they just words? You know, I reflected on that when we sang in the choir. I know some are here for years. It got drilled in us, you know, like a drill sergeant. This was Pastor Clinton. He drilled it in us. A lot of times, not every rehearsal, but a lot of times, we didn't sing. Am I right with this? Where's Denise? We'd spend an hour doing what? Just reciting the words. We'd speak the words back to him because he wanted us to think about and meditate on the words that we were singing. He said, these are not just words you're singing. There's a message to it, and you need to believe it. So he didn't have us just sing words. He drilled it in us to think about the words we were singing. I mean, am I right? I mean, how many are here? I mean, we say, when are we going to sing it? He said, when you recite it back to me. You know how kids are, you know, we just itchy to sing, you know, because you're singers, you want to sing. When we singing, right? But it wasn't just about singing. He said it wasn't just about singing a song. You're conveying a message. Yes. And you need to have that in your heart. Yes. See, so when you say, oh, my God's big, do you really mean that, or is it just lip service? You see, that's something we all have to look at and reflect. So we face crises in life. We do. We face health issues. We face relationship issues. We face job issues. You know, you can go on, financial issues. But is God bigger than your problems? Is he? Another way to say it is, big problem, small God. Big God, small problem. So how big is your God? See, that's why I like that with the words to that song. There's no God as big as mine. Too big a problem you just can't find. It makes no difference what the devil tries. There's no God as big as mine. Right? So when we look at problems from the natural, it may be a big problem. But for God and from his vantage point, it's a small problem. See, it gets quiet when you say that. It may be impossible for you to handle, but it's not impossible for God. You know, think about this. I've thought about different things in life. How many have had God ask you to do something and you go, really? Are you kidding me? It looks crazy. It looks like you've taken a step backwards. You step out and you go, Yahoo! And then you get going and you go, I'm going backwards. This makes no sense. But God has a purpose in it, and he'll always, when he's leading you, see, this is the key to always remember, is he leading you? If he's leading you, he's leading you to victory. He's leading you with a purpose. And he wants to do something through you. And it's not about you. He wants to reach people through you. That's the purpose. Amen. So we need to, in those times when God's leading us to do some things that look crazy, we need to remember how big my God is. He's a big God. Hallelujah. You know, this past Friday, we were sharing a Bible study in Pennsylvania. And one of the individuals, one of the deacons there, was sharing something. And she shared something that was insightful. She was talking about, you know, just the way she expressed it, it registered with me. She talked about our core beliefs. What are your core beliefs? Because when the pressure's on, those core beliefs are going to come out. They're going to surface. So what is your core belief? How big is your God? And so when we highlighted Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our message, and whom is the arm of the Lord Sorry about that. But the word of God, Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But this is something that got me thinking for a little bit last night. Your core beliefs, or let me say it this way, our thoughts will shape your core beliefs. Your thoughts will shape your core beliefs. How about if I take this coat off? Will that help? No? You don't think that's it? All righty. Well, just go ahead. No? I'm going to just stay here and...
Praise God. But our thoughts will shape what we call your core beliefs. Let me read this here in the Good News Translation. They may have it, they may not have that translation. But this is Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. Very familiar scripture. You can read it in whatever translation you have, but this is the Good News Translation. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen to my words. Never let them get away from you. Remember them and keep them in your heart. They will give you life and health to anyone who understands them. Now listen to this. This is verse 23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And so a lot of times our thoughts can, our thinking can shape our life, good or bad. And so God through spoke through Jesus in John 10:10. He said, the thief cometh what? But for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. That's God's thoughts. So no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm walking through, my God is a big God. And he's come to give me life and life more abundantly. Amen. So my question also is, what is your core beliefs? See, if you're not persuaded along these lines, just think about Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not what? Depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's the King James. But I like the Amplified Classic. It says, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. How is that going to come about? That's going to come about by meditating in the Word of God, keeping it before your eyes, meditating on it. And over time, wisdom will come, and you're going to know what to do in every situation in life, every problem. Now, this got me to thinking here a little bit. We have this Word which is forever settled in heaven. It's unchanging. God is unchanging. But I just, out of curiosity, went out and I just did a quick search on the internet for information. Now, this is worldly, and I'm going to just share it from this standpoint. This is not scriptural, but here's the point. They've already concluded some things that are already in the Word of God. The Word of God is already pointing what they're sharing. Listen to this. Bill Gates wrote an article about a book. It's called Mindset, M-I-N-D-S-E-T. It's called The New Psychology of Success by this author, Carol Dweck. And listen to what she wrote in her book. I'm just going to read this sentence. She said here, for 20 years, my research has shown that the view you adopt for yourself profoundly affects the way you lead your life. So what view should we take? My God is a great God. My God is a big God, and he's greater than any circumstance that I face. That should be my view. I should meditate in the Word of God. Keep it upon my lips. And it says, when you do that, you'll deal wisely in the affairs of life. That's my view. That's my mindset. That's my core belief. That there's nothing impossible with God. It may be impossible for me, but not for him. Listen to this. This other gentleman wrote an article. And, you know, it's all from a psychological standpoint. But listen to these are people that are at very intellectual levels that see things that are already in the Word of God. He says this. He said he references different individuals. Well, he said here, he writes that our mindsets, thoughts, beliefs, and expectations are lenses through which you perceive the world. And these lenses affect how you live and the choices you make every day. The mindsets people adopt have everything to do with their judgment of anything. When you are constantly, listen to this point he's bringing out here. These are people that have researched and studied this from a worldly, unsaved point of view. This is what they said. When you are constantly hearing and repeating stories about the way things are, the narrative gets daily reinforcement. Ouch. That's why people who market things know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. It says here, by using your personal power of responsibility and choice, you can change your mindset and improve how you respond to every situation in life and work. They're just approaching it from a mental standpoint. We're new creatures in Christ. How much more should we know better? That's why I say the attitudes that we need to think about, what's our attitude approaching situations in life? Listen to this. Some of you have heard this person, Mahatma Gandhi. Was a lawyer in India and part of that whole movement for independence in India. Listen to what this person observed and wrote. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. I'm telling you, there's so much here that they've written that we just, you know, we're trying to look for answers, and they're in the Word. If we just do it. Right? So say this, God said it. That settles it. And I choose to believe it. Hallelujah. So many things. I'm going to quickly reference these. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 in the New Living, it says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So we're to do what? Not fix our attention or gaze on the issues, which are what? Temporary. We're to fix them on our great God and his word. Romans 12:2. I like the message. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But I like the Amplified and the Living. It says, this same attitude, see, we're talking about mindset and attitude. It says, this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Or it says here in the Living, your attitude should be the kind that was shown by us by Jesus. So what did he say in his word? What are the things that he said in his word to us? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So then I can. My response is, I can. Then I can. I can do all things. It may not be possible for me, but with him it's possible. And I can do it. He strengthens me to do it. What did he say in his word? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then he does. My bank account may be low, may be empty, but he supplies my need. Then he does. What did he say in his word? Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, for this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Then my answer is, then I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. Not going to be. I am. What does his word say? Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, right? Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes we were healed. So then what's my answer? I am healed. I don't fix my gaze and attention on the circumstance and the issue in my body. I fix my gaze upon my great God and upon his word. So then I am healed. Amen. Let's turn over quickly to Mark 11:20. And let's look at this for a moment here. Familiar scripture. But I want us to look at this. You know, we read this a lot. But let's look at this from the standpoint of who is your God to you? Mark 11:20, starting there. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith. In who? God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, now would you not agree a mountain is an impossible thing to move? So he's saying here, he's trying to get their mindset, their thinking changed here, isn't he? He's trying to get them to see that if you fix your attention on me, I'll work in this situation here, right? Look what he's saying. Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So he was trying to get his disciples to see
let's just put it in this term, that if they had faith in a big God, they would get big results. He was trying to get their thinking changed. Because all along, they're thinking, how are we going to deal with this? And you can go back and he said, have faith in God. Have faith in him. He was showing them how to deal with impossible situations. So will we. So do we. We have to deal with impossible things in life. So turn over to Matthew 8, verse 23. This is a familiar story here, Matthew 8, 23. But our faith is always proportionate to our belief in how big our God is. Your faith is proportionate or proportional. But look at here. And you can look, I'm going to look at two situations here. But let's look at this account. I'm going to read this from the New Living. Matthew 8, 23. It says, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Verse 24, suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. That's an impossible situation. But Jesus was what? He was asleep. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. A lot of faith there. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. Little faith. Or someone would say, piquito. Now let's go to Matthew 14. I'm going to read this from the New Living also. This is proportional here. Matthew 14, verse 25. This is the account of Peter walking on the water. Matthew 14, verse 25 through 33. But it says here, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spake to them at once, don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. So here you can see here, Peter was working, he was doing all right, but then what? He began to doubt. Doubt in what? Doubt in his big God. Doubt in the word. He began to look at the circumstances and began to, I mean, here's somebody, he's walking on the water. He's walking on the water. Did you ever think about that? How many would jump out of a boat and just start walking in the middle of a storm? None of you would. I don't have to wait for an answer. If you're frisky, try it in your bathtub first. See how that works out for you. But here he's walking on the water. And what did he do? He got his eyes off and started looking. And that, he allowed fear and doubt to enter his heart. Don't let fear and doubt enter your heart when circumstances arise. What does it say? Fix our attention on him. Fix our gaze on him. I remember a situation in life, I won't get into the details, but I remember I was issued a subpoena for something, and I was in a car accident, and this lawsuit was for over $250,000. And I didn't have the amount of insurance on the car wouldn't even come close to that. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm done. I'm cooked. There's no way. There is no way I'm going to get through this. In the natural, it's an impossible situation. There's no way you can get through that. You can't pull enough strings. But I'm sitting at my desk. As a matter of fact, it wasn't long after we moved into this building here. And I'm sitting at my desk, you know, just kind of, oh, God, what am I going to do? You know, and I'm trying to work and keep my mind straight. And up out of here, in here, I'm sitting at my desk. I heard it down here. In Malachi 3, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. And then he said what? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I'm telling you, as God is my witness, I jumped up out of my seat and I said, glory, I'm a tither. He's rebuked him. And I'm telling you, I got happy. Right then on the spot, I got happy. I didn't make it up because I'm really perplexed. I'm overwhelmed with this in my mind. And when that scripture came up, I got happy because I said, that's the answer. I am a tither. And my God will see me through this. Now, for 6 months, I had to walk through it. And it didn't look good. And there were times that I said, oh, God, oh, like getting out of the boat and walking on the water. And there were circumstances that wanted to cause me to do what? Fear. But what happened was it went to the Supreme Court. And they said, well, we'll call you if we need you. One day one die, another day, another day, another day, another day. And I'm thinking, that's strange. And I got a letter in the mail that said, thank you, we've settled this within your insurance policy. Which wasn't even close to what they wanted. But my God is a big God. And when the devil's talking loud, you got to talk louder. I like what Brother Hagin says, or Pastor Hagin, never face your mountain with your mouth closed. When you got a mountain facing you, open your mouth. Hallelujah. Get God on the scene. Is God bigger and more powerful than any problem that confronts us? It's going to be the word of God. Because that's what Jesus did with the devil. It is written. And the word that God reveals to you that you speak is a sword. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Psalm 125. Psalm 125. Hope you're getting a little something out of this. Because we all face issues in life. But how big is your God? How big is he in your situation? Whatever it is. Psalm 125, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation in verse 1 and 2. In verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 125. I want everybody to look on here. It says, those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever. Who are those? The ones that trust in the Lord. Verse 2, just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forever. Hallelujah. He encamps about us. So God is big enough to take care of every mountain that we face in our life. Everyone. The things, what is Luke 18, 27? The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Mark 10, 27, same thing. For with God, all things are possible. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. So we need to allow God to work in our lives. And as we do, we allow, I'll say it this way, we allow God to work in our lives by our belief and our confession. You believe and say. We believe and therefore say. James talks about it. Just believing is not enough. You got to believe and say. And through you believing and saying, you're going to release the power of God to go to work in your life. If you believe and say, this is too much for me, then you hinder God from moving in your life. But if you say, it may be too much for me, but not for my big God. You know, as God, as we get closer to God, we become more of a threat to the devil. And things are going to come. You know, people say, why is this stuff happening? Because there's a devil. So when we face problems in life, let's face them with the belief that our God is bigger and greater than the problem. Let him increase in your life. The more he increases in your life, the less the problem looks to you. The bigger God is, the greater he is, then you have that mindset that he has, and you look at a problem, and you can laugh. You can laugh at it. You may not understand that, but I can tell you that as you grow and you get his mind on things, you begin to see like he sees. You begin to think like he thinks. And you look at your problems with a different perspective. As we speak God's word, the power of God is released to do the impossible in our lives. Don't make God small in your lives, but allow God to be big. As God becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, then our problems become smaller and smaller and smaller. Does everybody understand that? So we have a big God who desires to do big things in our life. If we let him. If we let him. There's nothing that we face. Nothing. Not one thing that is not possible for God to do if we let him. Amen. You know, when I think about, for me, when I think about things that I've just, you know, almost 20 years ago, just about 20 years, 19, 20 years ago, you know, I just thank God that I'm even here standing. And that's why I say it's important to know his voice. It says his sheep know his voice. And so, as we embrace the word of God, we allow him and let him lead you and guide you. I remember the Holy Ghost when I came back from vacation with my family. I remember I'm standing in the shower. And you know how you're pondering something. I'd been singing with the choir, coming down, leading, singing with the choir, and in pain for a year. Excruciating pain. Now, anybody who's a singer knows you can't push a diaphragm. This is where this was hurting here. A lot of pain. Couldn't sleep at night. And I remember coming home, and I was in the shower, and I'm standing there just enjoying the shower. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, I heard him. It was a still, small voice. Not da-da-da-da. Still, small voice. That's what I heard. If you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. Just like that. And I stopped. I'm standing in the shower. I'm stopping like this. And I went, July, August, September, October, November, December. That's 6 months. And I didn't do anything for a couple of weeks because I had been standing on the word of God for a year, believing that I'm healed. And I'm saying that there's nothing wrong with that. But he knows more about you than you do. So always be open to let the Holy Ghost lead you and guide you and direct you. Stand on the word, but then let him lead you. So as I did, within a few weeks, it all turned around because it was dietary. I needed to change my diet. And when I did, it healed my stomach within a couple of weeks. Within 6 months, it was like I never had it. And I asked this person, this doctor, I said, how bad was this? He said, if you had waited one more week, they would have opened your stomach up. And I knew when he said that, that was it. So it's important to know his voice in this season that we're in. You need to get close to God because things are going to happen and things are going to shake. And you better know his voice. You better have such an intimate relationship with God that when he speaks, you go, that's him speaking. It's strange, but I know his voice. I've never done this before. I've never gone this way before. It doesn't look possible, God, but I know your voice. And you wouldn't steer me wrong or lead me wrong, so I'm going to follow you. Oh, yeah. You know, I remember just before 9/11, we had people here in the ministry knows his voice. Remember the gentleman, John Blakely, played the drums, John. And he worked for one of the banks, major banks in one of the towers. And he said, the Holy Ghost told him to go empty his office. And he's like, what? I work here. What am I going to empty my office for? That makes no sense. But he knew the Holy Ghost. And he went and emptied his office. took all his belongings and things out that were his, took them out, took them home. That makes no sense in the natural. He said that day he went, he got out of his residence and somebody had parked in front of his driveway. And he's like, oh, I got to get the train to get into the city and da-da-da. And he's fussing. By the time he got there, he missed his train. And by the time he came out of the subway, he's looking up at the tower being hit. And another girl who worked here on staff, she worked on the floor that got wiped out. She was on the 96th floor, 92nd or 96th, I don't remember what, Diana Clark. And her mother had had an operation, and she said, you know what, I'm going to stay home with my mom for the month. It wiped out that whole investment firm. Gone. There ain't none left. So in this season that we're in, know the voice of God. Know his word, but know his voice. I'm telling you, it's that season that we're in. It's not just for your protection, but it's also to reach people. It's standing in a line behind somebody and saying something to them that they didn't even know you would know about them, to minister to them. That's what we're talking about. Knowing how to conduct the affairs of your life with your family and your children. Oh, yes. It's that time that we're in. We have a great God, and he wants to do great things through us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for touching our hearts. Thank you for shifting our thinking a little bit and bring us back to be in the center of the road, not one side or the other, but down the middle of the road, hearing your voice so clearly that we're absolutely convinced it's you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for doing great things here in us personally and in this ministry. Thank you, Father, in other ministries. Thank you for doing great things in this country. Thank you that Jesus is Lord over this United States. And we thank you for it, and the devil is defeated. And we give you praise today. We give you glory today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.